Good evening. Welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Matt and I'm an alcoholic.
Amen.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They're across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel this evening, Scott. All right. I will now read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. All right, so on page 84, we start with, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
I'm Scott, an alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, hello. I was at a retreat this past weekend, and someone mentioned, talking about the 10th, 11th, and 12th steps and talking about them as the maintenance steps and saying that, he didn't really like that terminology, and I can kind of understand that, but what I've been able to see, having gone through the steps, I think, is that there's more to it than just maintenance, and that sounds really boring. In addition to it being boring, maintenance is not something I'm all that very good at. Like when it comes to a car, I can start it and I can tell you if it's not working right, but I can't do much to fix it. So I think of maintenance along those ways. But what I see from maintenance in the 12-step angle, that's what I do to allow me to enjoy the rest of my life. When I drank, then I had all of yesterday and all of tomorrow that worried me or scared me or depressed me. When I look at something like step 10, it says continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That means I can clean everything up on a day-to-day basis, and my chances of enjoying today are much better that way. The same way with the car, I get the oil changed and I make sure the tires are inflated, and that's all pretty boring, but what that allows me to do is to get in that car and go anywhere I want. And so in a sense, it is maintenance, but I try to look at, you know, it's more than just that. It's what allows me to live with a reasonable degree of contentedness today.
Next reading is actually going to be from page 84 as well. So we'll go on with, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Scott, alcoholic again. My sobriety date, since I didn't mention it before, December 30th, 1997. My home group is the Many a Strange Camel Men's Big Book Study. It meets on Tuesday nights. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. I fought alcohol consistently in 1997, although I wouldn't have told you that I fought it. I didn't like what I heard in AA about people who said they couldn't stop drinking because I could. Thank you very much. Now, I didn't always. That's the part that I didn't care to admit. And even in the times that I did stop, I thought of nothing but that. If I went out to dinner and decided I was going to have a couple drinks, and then sometimes I had just two drinks. But I couldn't tell you what I couldn't have told you what I ate for dinner. I couldn't have told you what the conversation was, because my entire focus was on just keeping it to those two drinks. So what I was able to accept later on was when I read in the doctor's opinion that it says we are men and women who can never safely drink again. That's when I realized I had to give up the battle, that I can't fight alcohol, because it's not a matter that I can't stop every time. It's a matter that I don't know when that time is going to be. It said also later in this reading, it talks about being in a position of neutrality, which is something that I find very helpful. You know, I learned early on that just drinking or quitting drinking, that was great, but there was a whole new way of living. And this idea of being in a place of neutrality is something that I'm able to apply, or that I strive to apply daily. You know, people talk about the definition of humility being thinking less of myself and more of others. And that's true. I like that one. I heard one recently that seemed even more, that spoke to me personally. It said humility is allowing other people the right to be wrong. Because drinking, you know, I went through today, didn't think once about drinking. But it took only about 30 seconds on Facebook to discover somebody that I thought I needed to immediately prove wrong, because they were just stupid, you know, what they posted. And that's the kind of thing that I have to watch out for today, because it says elsewhere in the book, you know, anger is the dubious luxury of the non-alcoholic. And I always thought that was just for some moral grounds, you know, but it's, I've noticed when I get angry, then this buzz starts happening, this energy starts going through my mind, and that's a bridge to drinking if I'm not careful. So that's the part that spoke to me about that particular paragraph, is that I found a way to maintain a neutrality in life, and I can let other people believe what they want to believe. It's not my job to prove them right or wrong. Thanks.
It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Lots of good stuff. I think about the daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of a spiritual condition a lot. It was not something I thought of when I quit drinking, because I thought I quit drinking, that was the end of my problems. Drinking was clearly what it led me to the place that I didn't want to be, to the three DUIs and the spending, you know, this time 1996, rather than sitting in a room like this, I was in the Western Tidewater Regional Correctional Facility. The Commonwealth of Virginia was not happy that I had driven on a suspended license from the second DUI and gotten a third. So by the time in 1997 that I finally quit drinking, I thought, well, I'm done. And I sure don't want to spend the rest of my life talking about a few bad years that I had in my 20s. I don't want to go back to that. But then the whole spiritual part started to kick into me slowly over the course of many years when it occurred to me, like, okay, I quit drinking, that's great. But I also quit drinking in 1996, and I quit drinking all the way back to 1991, and none of those times worked. So if this time in 1997 worked, what was different? It occurred to me then that there must have been a spiritual answer to that. I must have received some kind of assistance. And then what followed next was that if that is true, that there is a God of my understanding who is providing me some help, then it's the least that I could do is return that favor. So in coming back to AA and doing the steps, and I read things like we read tonight where it says, whenever I'm troubled, I resolutely turn my thoughts toward helping others. That was news to me. I figured I would help. I wasn't upset. You know, I didn't mind the idea of helping other people. That was fine. It was certainly something I planned to do eventually. But I wanted to get my life in order first. And it was a totally foreign concept to me that in order to get my life in order, I had to start helping some other people. And as importantly, that in those moments where I felt like things were just emotionally not acceptable, that whatever my emotions were really didn't matter. I could still be of service, whether it was something simple like calling to ask how people were doing, whatever it may be. The idea that I don't remember what part of the book it says, but part of the big book says, you know, nothing so much ensures our immunity to the next drink as being of service to the other alcoholic. And as a preview to step 12, you know, it says, you know, if I practice these principles in all my affairs, then it can be to other people, not alcoholics as well, to people at work. So if something's going wrong at work that I'm upset about, I can think instead, what position is this other person in? What can I do to make their life a little easier? Which is not intuitive thinking for me, or not certainly never was before. So it's a gift for me to be in a room like this tonight to hear people with varying lengths of sobriety say that, you know, they don't have it all together either. But part of this day by day, this admitting when I'm wrong or doing inventory to see what my role is too, because I'd still rather point out your role in it. I think if you just did things differently, then maybe I'd be happier, and that's never been the case yet. But thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Got one more reading here. I believe it's continued on page 85. I can't see the page number, so fingers crossed. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action.
I remember reading things like this early on, because I read the big book long before I actually ever did anything that it suggested to do. And, you know, I read all the steps, and it didn't make a bit of difference in my life. It turns out it wasn't until I actually did the steps that some things in my life started to look a little bit different. But, you know, it talks about the sensing the flow of His Spirit into us and all this stuff that would have just made me angry. But what I think of now is that I had... You know, I had expectations of other people that often led me to drink because they never did exactly what I thought they ought to do. And it turns out that one of the biggest barriers for me to developing any kind of God consciousness, as this calls it, was that I had just as many unrealistic expectations of God as I did of the people around me. People would refer to it as, you know, the Santa Claus God, like, I'm going to pray, I want this, this, and this. And none of those things happened, so... You know, I never got to a point where I thought He didn't exist, primarily because I was too angry at Him to, you know, he had to have existed. He just didn't treat me the way that I liked. You know, I went to church growing up, and so I had some conceptions that I wound up changing later. It turns out that it's not all miracles that I, you know, when I think miracle, I think parting seas and all these kind of dramatic things. And through the course of years, you know, I've come to believe that some miracles are not quite as visible. Today, I consider it a miracle that any of us are sitting in this room. Many of us have gone to a lot of places we didn't want to go as a result of our drinking. The fact that we've been able to quit drinking, even if it's only for the time we're at this meeting, you know, that's more than I was able to do on my own power. So those kind of things, I've started to redefine miracles. And when I do, then I kind of redefine that God consciousness too. People would say, you know, and the Lord said to me, and I said, you're kidding me. He did not speak to you. And now I know more what they mean, because you know, I don't hear audible voices either. But people that I know in 12-step communities or in communities of faith talk to me, and in those conversations, I hear the God of my understanding. I don't have the luxury, as it says, you know, we must move into action. More action is required. And me, I'd rather sit on my couch and wait for God to come knock on my door and tell me what's coming up next. But that has yet to happen to me. And one thing that I love about AA, even though I find church, you know, in my recovery story, church is pretty important to me, but AA still is so much more simple and so much more clear in explaining what God's will is. I don't have to sit at home and pray about what God's will is. The book tells me it's to be of maximum service. Very simple. There's nothing wrong with going further than that, but at its most basic level, that's what God's will is in my life. And when I do that, you know, when I realize that I can define it as simply as God, you know, my higher power, a power greater than me, is this room full of people that doesn't want to be drunk tonight. That's the only, you know, if I have problems with God, as I did when I came in, then that's all I need to do is just acknowledge that a couple people in a room are gonna help me overcome this desire to drink. And if I do this long enough, then I've found that desire goes away. So thanks.
Either one of you have anything else to wrap up? We don't have any more readings. Since we have a little more time, we may end up calling on a few people to see if they have anything that, Ed, did you want to?
Well, I've got this microphone.
Okay. So on just pertaining to our readings tonight and step 10, should I just call or? I'm wondering if Amy has anything to share at the moment. Over here.
I don't know if I have. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Amy.
This step for me is kind of the central location of what spiritual life is. I do not like watching myself during the day. I don't want anybody else watching me either. I don't like to be asked questions. I just want to kind of operate autonomously. And my desire to operate autonomously is a large part of my problem. That is my rapidly rebuilding ego that tells me I know what I'm doing, I have a good reason for everything I'm doing, don't come messing with me. Not you, not God, not anyone. I'm in charge. And so as I do this step through the day, usually what happens for me is I start getting uncomfortable, you know, or I have some displaced aggression. I'm pissed because somebody looked at me wrong. And I'm stomping around and I'm cussing under my breath. And the problem is not that somebody looked at me wrong. The problem is that maybe I gave short shrift to prayer and meditation in the morning. The problem is that maybe I didn't do a nightly review. And I have amends that need to be made from the day before. But the way that step 10 fits into all of this for me is that it forces me to continue. That's what this is all about. And as an alcoholic, I'm kind of a short-term gains person. I want to feel good right now. I want to work really hard and then kind of slack off for the rest of my life and enjoy the fruits of my labor. And that's not how it works out, because that ego, it rebuilds. I'm in pain right now, I'm on my knees, I'm begging God for help, it gets better. 24 hours later, I think it got better because I'm such a wonder kid. And then the whole process starts again, and I'm screwing up, and I'm running roughshod over other people, and I'm playing God. And you don't know what you're talking about, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a way to keep me in the present moment. It's a way for me to live out a life different than the one that I gave myself. It is the it's a form of spiritual and emotional hygiene for me. If I don't pay attention during the day, then I have an 11-step review to do at night to pick up where I failed in my 10-step during the day. But those little spot checks when I'm feeling uncomfortable, taking a look at what happened, am I resentful? Am I in self-seeking motives? Which I'm always in self-seeking motives. You only exist to make me feel good about me. It's always self-seeking for me. But when I'm watching it as it's unfolding, sometimes I can short-circuit the process before I start mouthing off. Because if I act on what I'm thinking, then I'm going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to owe amends. I'm going to have to clean up some crap, some more debris that I've created for myself. That's, I don't have anything else to say about it.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Anyone else? Johnny, do you have anything you want to say?
Hi, I'm Johnny. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey,
Johnny. In my experience, I've never maintained. When I first came to you guys, I told a lot of lies. I like big stories, and you know, I go through the inventory process, and I go through some amends, and I really was under the illusion that I was cured. And AA, when you're as far down as I was when I came to you guys, I mean, health-wise, I had no employment, no friends, and there was nowhere to go but up. And when I started accomplishing things, the steps worked so well, and you stopped doing them. Mm. And that's just my experience. And sometimes, even today, after a few years of doing this, it might cost me a few days of shopping spree. I have to make a couple of amends, like Amy was talking about. And sometimes something big happens. A relationship, a girl becomes more important. A job, a promotion, it becomes more important because I've got to focus on that. And times lapse where I'm really not doing the steps. I was at a meeting where I hadn't really done the 12-12 before, and they were talking about people going for literally years doing the first step and the 12th step. And it scared me because I was thinking, how many years have I done this? I was taught early on to call 3 drunks a day, and it's been a part of my sobriety. For all of my sobriety, and it's arguably a death step because there are people in my life that know everything about me, and I did not have that experience before I came to you guys. My sponsor sat next to me, I talked to him 3-4 times a week, he knows everything, trust me. And that had to be taught, and now it's easy, but in the beginning, it had to be taught to me, I had to learn how to do that. It would come in an open book. That's really all I had to share.
Thanks. Grant? I know you're hiding back there, but it's a short pass. You got anything?
Grant. As everybody's sharing and listening to Susan and Scott over there, it just occurred to me for the first time, probably in a little while, I know I've had this thought before, I think about 10 and 11, but particularly the 10th step is the very simple phrase, mind your own business. And my first thought about that phrase is what it goes through my head every day is when somebody comes into my office or calls me on the phone and proceeds to tell me how to mind my own business, I retaliate because I'm afraid that they found something out about me or I'm angry because they think they know better than me. And the idea of, you know, cleaning up my own street is in fact minding my own business. Learn through this step to actually pay attention to what my feelings, fears, regrets, selfish needs, and desires are all about. And take a step back and pay attention to who I am and what I'm doing, rather than trying to run the world. Because I like that. I like that idea that I know exactly what you're doing wrong, and I'm going to displace all the problems in the world onto you, rather than worry about what I should be doing. And I don't mean that in the way of managing better. I mean in that in the way of, where is God in my life? I'm not paying attention to God when I'm trying to run your world. I'm trying to be God. And I think I'm particularly good at it. Right? I'm one of the children, along with the rest of you. How can I be in a position to be of service to you? And I love this simple saying that I heard, variations on the theme, but the version that just always sticks in my head is, my highest level of success in AA is serving. So I've come here very much conditioned to believe that I need ease and comfort. I need to feel better all the time. And the truth really is I need to worry less about my feelings and worry more about what I can do for God and my fellows around me. And this step allows me to do that. This step allows me to walk into somebody's office and say, I'm just a human being, and I was wrong, and I shouldn't have been doing that. And I'm going to try to do better. And ask God to show me the way, and ask God for the strength to do that going forward. And that's the brilliant thing about this, is that, for me, embodies the whole idea that I've had a psychic change as a result of these steps. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg.
You got a wild card for us? How about David?
I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
Hey, David.
Grateful being here. Grateful to be sober tonight. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. And I'd like to welcome anybody who's brand new, because if this is your first or second AA meeting, what does any of this have to do with drinking, right?
Yeah.
But, to get to be here and struggling a little bit and willingness to share, and and any one of us who take the risk of sharing in the hope that somebody else will go, you know what, that I felt like that. That's happened to me. You know, maybe if I do these things, I'll get what they got, you know. And so the thing about the 10th step, what I love is nobody here tonight has said, when I do my 10th step at night, which I'm grateful for, because the book absolutely lays out the 10 step instructions as a very dynamic walking around program for how to conduct my life on a day-to-day basis. And I'll go further than that. I really think that first paragraph that was read is sort of the practical instructions of how to practice these principles in all my affairs. You know, I mean, we don't have to be unclear about what that is, you know. It tells me on a daily basis to continue to watch. I also love what Scott said too about, I think we shortchange these steps by calling them maintenance steps. Yeah. You know, I don't know about anybody else in the room, I've never gotten anywhere I wanted to maintain. Yeah, this is good. I never got in a bar and said, do you want another drink, David? I'm like, no, I'm going to maintain right here. You know, oh, this is enough sobriety for me, thank you very much. You know, my grand sponsor calls them growth and living steps. Yeah. And that sounds more appealing to me. I certainly want to grow, and I certainly want to live, and I prefer to do that comfortable. Anybody else? No. All right. But it basically tells me, you know, we've come a long way getting to the 10th step. And those house cleaning steps begin with that decision in step 3 and the inventory in step 4, et cetera. And step 10 just basically says, why don't you continue to watch for the things that we found in your 4-step inventory, all that fear, all that resentment, all that dishonesty. Why don't we watch for that? Because it's going to crop up. It's going to happen. And when it happens, we're going to pray about it. We're going to discuss it with somebody. And we're going to make amends quickly if we've harmed somebody. Because, you know, I'm just as likely to say something stupid to somebody just because they looked at me funny. I still have a lot of that in me. But if I can show up and say, hey, my bad, I failed to consider you. I was thinking about something else. I wasn't even paying attention when you were talking. Can we have a do-over on that? I was wrong. If I can clean that stuff up on a daily basis. And then somewhere in there, he sticks step 12 in there. He says, now why don't you turn your thoughts and attention to somebody you can help? I mean, okay. And when I'm doing that, I'm not thinking about me, and I'm not thinking about how unfair it is. Poor David. Let's all cry a little bit for David, because I'm too sensitive for this world. You know what I mean? I was born with thinner skin, I think, than is really necessary to enjoy life, you know? World's a little too tough to live in for David. David needs chemical assistance to get him off. But thank God, you know, drugs and alcohol stopped working. I don't have to destroy myself today. I can try to practice these things. And that's all I've ever found, is that if I practice these things, I improve. I don't know if I'd call it good, but I improve. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Anyone else have something to share?
I'll
turn maybe for one. Oh, yeah.
I'll add, yeah, I definitely. Don't know if this is connected or not. Hopefully it is. My thought just came to mind of, you know, I changed careers in 2009 and into a job that I turned out I knew very little about. And I've gotten a little better over it. Better with it through the years, but the thing that I thought of is, you know, after a few years into it, that I had this particularly bad evaluation, and most of it I had earned. I had not done a particularly good job. Now the day that happened at work, that night I was meeting some guys from my home group. We were going out to dinner and then to a meeting, to the candlelight meeting on Cali. And I was, you know, I like to keep the face. I don't like to cry. I like to keep, like, everything is good. But I was, like, not far away from just breaking down completely, because this was the first really bad job review I'd gotten in a long time. And so I see the guys at dinner, and I'm telling them all what's going on. And one of the guys just looks at me and says, "Hey, it's going to be all right." I said, No, it is not all right. That's why I'm talking to you now. It is not all right. You don't get it. And he said again, "It's going to be all right." And it took a long time for that. I mean, thankfully within the course of the evening, but that slowly settled in. Yeah, in spite of the fact that this day seems absolutely disastrous, in the grand scheme of things, it is going to be all right. And it made me very thankful to realize that I had a fellowship and a group of people that I could share that with, because I don't share that with people. I still don't like that now, to tell you I screwed something up. No, thank you. I'm not one of those people who screws things up. It's like, well, hello, we all do. But my pride and my ego get in the way of that. So it was... Sadly, it was one of the first experiences I'd had, you know, where I really got to share with people that, you know, things are not right in my world, and to open myself up to let them tell me, you know, it's going to be all right. That's one of those examples I mentioned earlier. You know, God doesn't talk to me, you know, sit next to the couch, next to me on the couch and talk. But the people in my life that I value and trust do say the things that I imagine He would if he talked that way. So thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, we are. Now we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket, and we read this self-support card. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remains self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites us all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? Sterling.
This Saturday, I'm Sterling, an alcoholic.
Hey, Sterling.
This Saturday, January 26th, 8:45 p.m., Sick and Twisted at the Friends Meeting House on Laskin Road in Virginia Beach is having their anniversary. There'll be a supper and speaker. Supper starts at 8:45, and the two speakers start at 10 o'clock.
Awesome, thank you. Anyone else? Other announcements? AA announcements? Morgan?
Morgan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Morgan.
This home group right here is having supper and a speaker Monday, February 18th. If you haven't been, it's amazing. There's a lot of food, a lot of fellowship, and an awesome speaker, usually from out of town. And this time, our speaker is going to be Neve Kay from Richmond, Virginia. 6 p.m. potluck, and the speaker will start at 7 o'clock sharp. That is Monday, February 18th in this room. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, would you please raise your hands?
Yay.
And newcomers, okay. Is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety that would like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Michael, and I'm an alcoholic.
Michael.
Oh, welcome.
I'm Alex, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jeremiah, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Welcome.
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 Tony. Welcome.
Welcome. Awesome. Welcome. Literature is available on the table to my right over here. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase anything there. Also, sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. Also, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website at simpleactions.net. In closing, I'd like to thank the panel again for sharing. Thank you, everybody else who's here. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is down Colonial, right before the train tracks on the right. Do we have a volunteer that wants to read the last two paragraphs on 164? Who's got a book handy?
Keith.
First one to do it, just jump in.
All right, Brian,
I'll
call it.
Brian.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come with your own houses in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you have got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks for meeting. All right, we're going to now close with the Lord's Prayer. Brought us here tonight?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Is this boar hide?
I don't think so. These are the
They start out with much less.
I can't tell who you're talking about.
The more you wear, the better it looks.
Hey, how's it going?
Look very good.
I see you. There's a pen behind every chair.
Oh, there is.
I know. There's been about 20 times I've forgotten that, but tonight I remember.
I'm just staring at all the pens.
Well, thank you so much.
Pens everywhere. Hey, you got a